It doesn't make a matter how many men we look at and how many characters we come to. I don't think we are going to better the one we have tonight. I have learned so much in life through watching John the Baptist in the school of God that you'll find out as we go on that I have really learned. Yes, John the Baptist, we are at this evening, and as we look at this unique and rugged character, and mind you, he was both unique and rugged, and we look at him humbly taking his place in the school of God. First of all, I want you to listen carefully to the testimonials that the Lord Jesus gave him. And we're commencing at Matthew's Gospel, chapter 11, please. Gospel by Matthew. And we're at chapter 11. But I want to read from the first of the chapter, but the first five verses don't concern us now, but they will concern us at the end of the message, because John is in prison. But this is the proper lead-in. And it came to pass, when Jesus had made an end of commanding his disciples, he departed thence to teach and to preach in their cities. Now when John had heard in the prison the works of Christ, he sent two of his disciples and said unto him, Art thou he that should come, or do we look for another? Jesus answered and said unto them, Go and show John again those things which ye do hear and see. The blind receive their sight, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised up, and the poor have the gospel preached to them, and blessed is he whosoever shall not be offended in me. And as they departed, Jesus began to say unto the multitudes concerning John. Now that's very interesting, because this is our Lord Jesus preaching about John. And I assure you I can fill in the next 2 hours about John preaching about Jesus. And all things that John said about Jesus were true, so this book says. But this is not John preaching about Jesus. This is Jesus preaching about John. That's very interesting, isn't it? And as they departed, Jesus began to say unto the multitudes concerning John, What went ye out into the wilderness to see? A reed shaken with the wind? Because crowds went into the wilderness to see this mighty preacher. Jesus is asking the question, What went ye out into the wilderness to see? A reed shaken with the wind? Let me tell you, there was no wind from any sect or crowd or council in Palestine that shook John for a moment. Not a bit of it. Oh no, he never shook for a second. Some of the critics think he did. I'm afraid not. Then he asks another question. But what went ye out for to see? A man clothed in soft raiment? Behold, they that wear soft clothing are in king's houses. You see, John wasn't the film star of any kind. Wasn't any sort of dressing up dramatic show there, you know. Oh no, he wasn't clothed in soft raiment. He had a leathern girdle about him. And he was clothed with camel's hair. You see, God never meant his man to be an attraction. God meant his message to be an attraction. It wasn't the man. And so the Lord Jesus is asking questions. Verse 9, but what went ye out for to see? A prophet? Yea, I say unto you, I'm more than a prophet. Now it would be wonderful if the Lord Jesus were to say you're a prophet. It must be so much more wonderful when he says, yea, more than a prophet. He's writing John's testimony out now. Yes, it's very wonderful. For this is he of whom it is written, and it is our Lord Jesus Christ who is saying this, behold, I sent my messenger before thy face. You see, that's in the book of Malachi. And when old Malachi penned these words, behold, I sent my messenger before thy face, he was talking about John the Baptist. Oh, yes. It was written in God's word about him coming. And that the Lord would send him before his face. He was to be the forerunner of the Messiah. Yes, he was a prophet and more than a prophet and a forerunner. Verse 11. Verily I say unto you, among them that are born of woman, there hath not risen a greater than John the Baptist, and it was our Lord who said that. You can argue with it if you like. I have had people cheeky enough to argue with it. I would think the Lord would know. If our Lord Jesus said, verily, among them that are born of woman there hath not risen a greater than John the Baptist, then that's just how it goes. Up to that moment in this old world of ours, there was not a greater. Yes, that's why I put this heading here this evening, John the Baptist, none greater than he. That's what Jesus said. And you can go back through the Old Testament and lick them all over. And Abraham was there, and Moses was there, and David was there, and Daniel was there, and I can quote them for you. None greater. Let's really believe this. This is our real character we have in hand tonight. You see, if I came to the platform and said, none greater than John the Baptist, well, you would question me, that's all. Oh, but it is Jesus Christ that's talking. And he must know. There's none greater. And yet, you see, he went on to say this. Verily I say unto you, among them that are born of woman, there hath not risen a greater than John the Baptist. Notwithstanding, he that is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. Now, what are we talking about now? Let's read on, just, and we'll get it quite easily. And from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffereth violence, and the violent take it by force. For all the prophets and the law prophesied until John. Oh, let's get hold of it. Want you to see this, you see. You see, John was the last of the Old Testament prophets until John. That's where it stopped. They stopped there. You can tell me the first one, can't you? Oh, Enoch was the first one. The seventh from Adam, he prophesied, didn't he? He was the first prophet. John the Baptist was the last one, although he doesn't appear in the Old Testament, only in the writing of Malachi and Isaiah. But he himself was in the New Testament, but he's the last of the Old Testament prophets, for the law and the prophets continued up to there. no further. I wonder at the Seventh-day Adventists trying to carry it on a little bit. Because the book we're reading out of says, on till John. I don't want to get lost in that stupid argument. You see, our Lord Jesus has appeared now. And he has come to do something else. Because the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. And he stood up and he said, I will build my church. That's different, you know. Because when you go back to the law and the prophets, you have the nation of Israel all in there. But when you come to our Lord Jesus building the church, you know, he loved the church and gave himself for it. Let me turn you to the letter to the Ephesians for a moment or two. Just look at it now, because I think for the younger ones it's good to look at it. And we're at Ephesians, and we're looking at chapter 5. See verse 25. Paul saying, husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church, and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. For no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, of his bones. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall be joined unto his wife, and they too shall be one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. You see, what I'm trying to establish is that the church is the bride of Christ. And as he builds the church, and we are saved and put into it, we are part of the bride. Well, John was never part of the bride. When John's talking in John's Gospel chapter 3, John says, I'm the friend of the bridegroom. That's what he says. Have a look at John's Gospel chapter 3 now, just for a moment. And we cannot waste too much time on this. John's Gospel chapter 3. John's answering the crowd here in verse 27. And John answered and said, a man can receive nothing except it be given him from heaven. Ye yourselves bear me witness that I said, I am not the Christ, but that I am sent before him. He that hath the bride is the bridegroom. But the friend of the bridegroom, he's quite different from the bride, isn't he? Which standeth and heareth him, rejoiceth greatly because of the bridegroom's voice. This my joy, therefore, is fulfilled. He was only the friend of the bridegroom. So you see, while he was the greatest, born of woman, up to that particular point where the law stopped, any one of us saved beyond that point, we're a part of the bride. We're greater than he, because he's just the friend of the bridegroom, and we're part of the bride. Oh, the Lord was teaching them this. Let's go on over here. Let's go back to Matthew 11. Got to establish this a little bit. You see, he's talking to this crowd here, and he's showing the courage of John. He wasn't easily shaken, and he wasn't a dramatist of any kind. Didn't wear soft clothing. And he was the messenger that was mentioned in the Old Testament. And in his own dispensation, among them that are born of woman, there has not arisen a greater than John the Baptist. Now, watch verse 14. But if ye will receive it, this is Elias, which was for to come. Because the Old Testament talked about Elijah coming again. Ah, well, this was the fulfillment of that. What a testimonial this is. This is our Lord's testimonial to John. No wonder he said, none greater than me. So let's start by looking at his parents this evening. Because I think it's good to look at the parents all the time. Have a look at Luke's Gospel, chapter 1, please. Luke's Gospel, and we're at the first chapter. See verse 5. There was in the days of Herod the king of Judea a certain priest named Zacharias. Please let's get the word priest in there. He was a Levite. He belonged to the tribe of Levi. Certain priest named Zacharias of the course of Abiah. They served in the temple in different courses, and this was his course. And his wife was of the daughters of Aaron, so she was a Levite too, and her name was Elizabeth. Now, this is John the Baptist's father and mother, Zacharias and Elizabeth. They belonged to the tribe of Levi, the priestly tribe. Now, watch what it says about them here. And they were both righteous before God. How did you get that? Now, that's what I was at a minute ago. You see, they had faith in the sacrifice. They were depending on the blood, and because of their faith in the sacrifice, then they were justified before God. That's what the word righteous there means. They were both righteous. That's their standing before God. That is not a state. Nevertheless, their state was pretty good. Look at their state. Here's their standing. They were both righteous before God. They were both saved. Justified, yes? Now, here's their standing. Here's their standing. Walking in all the commandments and ordinances of the Lord, blameless. That's how they carried on. You see, they were not only righteous, they were godly. They were two godly souls. They had learned to live righteously and soberly and godly in this present world. Watch this word again. Walking in all the commandments and ordinances of the Lord. Well, let's get the word blameless. Because you see, some people go too far with this and they say, you know, John the Baptist's father and mother were sinlessly perfect. Oh, not on your life they were. Oh, not on your life. The word blameless is not the word faultless, you know. Quite a different word. You see, when I went to school, and I didn't go many days, I'm afraid the record is poor, but I was there some days. And they used to give me a copybook. Do you remember the copybook? I wrote it. And I got the hiding for it. he's all pleased about it, you know. But I can assure you, you know, once or twice, I set out to do the thing properly. to copy it as perfectly as I could. Now, I want to tell you that no matter how I tried, it was never faultless. But when the teacher came round and leaned over me, you know, I was blameless. I'd done my best. So that's the difference between faultless and blameless. You see, the copybook's heavy, it's faultless. But when I did my best, it was never faultless. Oh, but I'm blameless. I did my level best. Oh, they were walking in all the commandments and ordinances of the Lord blameless. Couldn't blame them. Now, when you think about all the commandments way back there in the old economy where John lived, there were a lot of commandments in there, not only the Ten Commandments, but they were ceremonial commandments and social commandments and national commandments and all that, but in all the commandments. You know, I get really annoyed with some of these modernists and the Methodist man Weatherhead, and it should be Leatherhead and Leatherhead, I don't know what you would call them. I mean to really rub this home. Because the Methodist Conference had the audacity to make him the Prime Minister of the whole conference. I'll tell you what he wrote. He wrote that Zechariah, the father of John the Baptist, got the Virgin Mary and shut her in the temple and kept her there until he made her pregnant. He'll go to hell. And he'll be in hell for all eternity. Let me tell you that. That is blasphemy of the deepest God. With a statement like that before him, how could John the Baptist's father commit adultery with a Virgin Mary and be blameless? We put up with these boys far too much. My God, you should never put your nose through a Methodist door again. I mean to defend the truth, you know, and I'm not backward at doing it, and I never will be, and nobody will muzzle me. That is ridiculous and blasphemous and horrible. How are they going to unite with the Roman Catholics? They're trying to mooch in now. I'll tell you, no wonder the Pope threw them out. My dear friends, it won't do! Virgin Mary was a pure woman. And what is more, John the Baptist's father and mother, walking in all the commandments and ordinances of the Lord blameless. And we won't put up with that sort of nonsense. If the Methodists put up with it, we won't put up with it. And for that. And that's written in the book. You don't need to worry about it. He penned it and he has to stand over it. And I think he's an apostate. And I think he hasn't a chance of getting saved. Well, this is the father and mother of John the Baptist. You can see their walk, can't you? And you'll find that they prayed. It says in verse 7, and they had no child, because that Elizabeth was barren, and they both were now well stricken in years. You see, they got married, these two young Levites of this priestly tribe, and they walked before God as they should have walked, but they had no child. And there are godly people who have no children. Of course, in those early years, you know, like many another godly couple, they had prayed to God that God would give them a family. Yes, they had every right to do that. But you know, those years had rolled past, and they are now well stricken in years. No chance now. not going to have a family. So it's he. Verse 8 says, it came to pass that while he executed the priest's office before God in the order of his course, according to the custom of the priest's office, his lot was to burn incense when he went into the temple of the Lord. That's what he did as a priest. And the whole multitude of the people were praying without at the time of incense, and there appeared unto him an angel of the Lord standing on the right side of the altar of incense. And when Zechariah saw him, he was troubled, and fear fell upon him. And the angel said unto him, fear not, Zechariah, for thy prayer is heard. That's a mighty little word. And thy wife Elizabeth shall bear thee a son, and thou shalt call his name John, and that must have shook him, for he's an old man, and he's well stricken in years. He stopped praying a long time back, you know. Let me talk to you about your prayers for a minute. You see, I can see these two young ones getting married, and I can see them praying fervently, and then it came to pass that they got older and older, and they're well stricken in years, and they've got enough sense to lay it off now. It's not going to happen. Oh, but the prayer that they prayed, you see, God put it on the shelf in the glory until he wanted to bring it down. Thy prayer is heard. That wasn't yesterday's prayer. That might have been 20 years ago. You prayed for a wee fella 20 years ago? Your prayer is heard. Can I turn it around another way on you? See, some of you mothers here, just sit still now. You've got a big fella now. You remember when you prayed for him and he was born, and bless him, he grew up and he's a man now and he's drunk every night. Oh, will your prayer can be heard one of these nights? God came into the bedroom tonight and said, thy prayer is heard, we're going to save him this night. That would be a big night. My old mother prayed on her knees when she didn't have a chance with me. And she was in heaven when I think an angel put his hand on her shoulder and said, your wee fellow got saved. It's very wonderful, you know. Abraham prayed for Lot, the cities of the plain. He says, look, if there's so many righteous, you'll spare the city. He wasn't worried about the city, it was Lot he was worried about. And he went on down and said, so many and so many, and he just didn't like to go any further, and then he left it off. And when God rained fire on Sodom, God, it says, this book says, God remembered Abraham and delivered Lot. Abraham's prayers were on the shelf. See Cornelius in this book? Oh, it's a mighty story. I'll tell you that this fellow Cornelius of the Italian band, I'll tell you what it says here, don't you turn to it. A centurion of the Italian band, a devout man, one which feared God, to all his house and prayed always, saw in a vision, when he takes the notion, he lifts this prayer vase down from the shelf. Say your prayers. And some of you fathers and mothers prayed for them before I ever knew them. Hey, huh? See this fellow's father and mother, that's what I'm supposed to be at. Yes, you know, he saw a godly father and a godly mother at home, didn't he? He learned all about the priesthood. He learned all about the law. Learned all about the Lord. Saw the example of a godly life. Knew what it was to have an old man and woman that could pray. Oh, friend, You young ones coming up and bringing kids up. May they realize that you can pray. There's one thing I remember about my mother more than anything else in the world, and that was she could pray. Thank God she could pray.
Keep on praying. It all has to go on.
I'm going to be beat with this. I just knew that before I began. Anyhow, let's do another bit of it. Let's have a look at his power. Looked at his penance. Well, it looks gospel there, aren't we? I want to do this bit because this is very important. We're away down where the angel talks to Zechariah. Verse 13. And the angel said unto him, Fear not, Zechariah, for thy prayer is heard, and thy wife Elizabeth shall bear thee a son. Thou shalt call his name John. Because the angel knew the sex of the child before the child was even conceived. Gave him his name too. One of the few in Scripture who got his name before he was conceived. Yes. Thou shalt have joy and gladness, and many shall rejoice at his birth. Talking about the boy that's coming, John the Baptist. I want you to get this bit. For he shall be great in the sight of the Lord, and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink. You see, if you're going to be a godly man or woman, I think you've got to pack this up. And they try to argue with me about this, you know. Some of the old brethren try to argue with me about this, that you can go and booze in the quiet. Oh, how dare you. The book that you're reading either says, Cursed is he that setteth strong drink before his neighbor. That wouldn't be enough for some of them, of course. I'll tell you, all the godly folk in this book, they neither touch strong drink nor wine from their babyhood. They were Nazarenes, Nazarites. What's this? Verse 15, He shall be great in the sight of the Lord, and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink. I want you to get this bit. He shall be filled with the Holy Ghost, even from his mother's womb. There isn't anybody in the book like that, you know. There isn't anybody in the world like that either. I want you to get the hold of that, because that's very, very, very important for us tonight. You see, we get a lot of tripe talked about second blessing. And it's the greatest tripe in this world. Old schoolmaster said to me once, from the Royal School to Dharma. Well, he said to me once, he said, you know right well that being filled with the Spirit is the second blessing. I said, I know nothing of the kind. He says, that's what the second blessing is, getting filled with the Spirit. So I just opened a book at this particular bit here, and I said, now, John the Baptist was filled with the Holy Ghost, even from his mother's womb. So he was filled before he left the womb. So he had got the second blessing before he had got the first birth. Is that what you found it in? And the old fellow looks at me, just as stupid as a school teacher can look. Sometimes when a man goes out of his depths, he may be a mighty school teacher, and to that I will bow. But if he doesn't know this book, he shouldn't be talking tripe. Let's get the hold of this. See this little baby
in the womb, do you? Well, I'll tell you, before he was born at all, he was filled with the Holy Ghost, even from his mother's womb.
Right through his day, see his babyhood days in the cot, do you? Oh, he was filled with the Holy Ghost. Enough to scare you.
Neelam pastor said to me once, he says, you know, we don't believe the things that you teach sometimes, but we're all beat when it comes to John the Baptist. Yeah, that's right. You can see that you talk tripe then, can't you? He says, Willie, we don't know the answer to that. I says, you're quite sure he was filled with the Holy Ghost from his mother's womb, are you? Yes. And it's certainly not rolling on the floor that got him that, is it? Or clapping your hands in the middle of the night. Oh no, they don't know the answer. Well, I shall have to tell them the answer. I shall tell you so that you know. You see, the dispensation that John the Baptist came in, that ended with John. The law and the prophets were up to John, just up to John. That was the end of it, you know. And in that dispensation, which is the dispensation of law, the Holy Ghost could come upon whom he would, when he would, how he would, for what he would. We'll find that the Holy Ghost came upon Gideon just to fight the battle. You'll find that the Holy Ghost came upon Bezalel just to build the tabernacle. And now I can go through the whole of the Old Testament and let you see the Holy Ghost coming upon whom he would, for what he would, when he would, as he would. That's why David said in the 51st Psalm, take not thou Holy Spirit from me. Because he knew that he could come and he could go. Oh, but it's quite different today. You see, we're in a different dispensation. We're in the body of Christ. We belong to the bride. You see, the moment that you believe, dear, at that moment you're sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise until the day of redemption. It saith he hath come to abide with you forever. It's a different thing. You know, we can grieve him. He's in there, all right. We can grieve him. We can quench him. We can resist him. But we cannot lose him. He's ever there. And you see, in that dispensation, he elected to come upon this baby before he was born and to be with him throughout all his days. Very wonderful, this, you know. Yes, that was his power, you know. I needn't go into that Nazarite vow. I don't want to spend much time about him being the last of the Old Testament prophets. I don't want to go on with the preaching now, because you know how John preached, don't you? Can I say that in 2 minutes and save time? You see, let's go to Matthew's Gospel, chapter 3. Verse 1, in those days came John the Baptist preaching in the wilderness of Judea. He's preaching, remember. You see, that's all he ever was. He was just a preacher. This book says, John did no miracle. I wish I could talk to this charismatic crowd who go mad at times. Because all they want to do is spectacular things. Let me tell you, John was the greatest that was down here, so Jesus said.
He did no miracles. And he certainly never talked in tongues. Not for a second. He just preached. But he was the greatest, wasn't he? He just preached. And everything he said about Christ, all that John said about this man is true, so it says in this book. But watch him preaching. It says in verse 7 of chapter 3, when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees come to his baptism, he said unto them, O generation of vipers! Boy, there was some preaching for you. See, he took no nonsense with these people. Crowds came, Sadducees lined up, you know, with their long robes on. They usually put their hands up their robes and stood with their heads down. Oh, it's all pretense. It's this Pharisaical nonsense. And of course the Pharisees were just the same. Long faces, shut their eyes, and made long prayers to be seen of men, so it says. And our Lord Jesus said, Woe unto you, scribes, Pharisees, hypocrites, whited sepulchres, full of dead men's bones and rottenness. How can you escape the damnation of hell? He was as hard on them as John was. See, we have a lot of old religionists in this country of ours. And they sing psalms and hymns and they're in choirs and they do everything. They have no time for Christ. They're a bunch of hypocrites. Generation of vipers is the word. Of course, I'd get into trouble if I do it, don't I? But I do it, and I shall continue to do it. That's what you call preaching. He's exposing the hearts. They didn't get off with this fellow. I'll tell you what's more is here. See that in verse 7? Generation of vipers, who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Mind you, he publicly professed his belief in the wrath to come. Oh, he believed there was wrath. He believed that God would open the heavens and come down on wrath upon the nations, and the nations that had forgotten God would be turned into hell. Oh, you're hardly allowed to preach like that now. I'll tell you this, when he stood before the king, King Herod, you know, ran about with a woman he wasn't allowed to go with, his brother Philip's wife. And John leaned over the pulpit and said, It is not lawful for thee to have her. That's good old preaching. I'll tell you, he was a great preacher. You see, he exposed the hearts of his hearers. He says, You're just vipers. You're only pretending. There's wrath coming. God will deal with you in wrath. And then he touched pet particular sin. Of course, that got him into prison. In fact, he lost his head because of that. The woman got his head taken off. But you know, he stood on the heights all the time and cried from his heart, Behold, the Lamb of God! Preached Christ all the time. No wonder he was a great preacher. Learn to stand up and speak out. Don't be afraid to put your finger on sin and talk to the people about Christ, and you'll be a good preacher. Now let's see him in prison, because this is an argument and it has gone on down through the years. We're at Matthew's Gospel, chapter 11, that first bit now. Matthew, chapter 11. Now I'll read it over to you and then I'll point out the problems. Came to pass when Jesus had made an end of commanding his disciples, he departed thence to teach and preach in their cities. Now, when John had heard in the prison, he was arrested at this time. He was in the prison. In fact, it was coming near his end. Now, when John had heard in the prison the works of Christ, He sent two of his disciples and said unto him, Art thou he that should come? Or do we look for another? Jesus answered and said unto them, Go and show John again those things which ye do hear and see. The blind receive their sight, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised up, the poor of the gospel preached unto them. Now some people say his faith faltered here. And I assure you all the critics of the Bible say this. They say, you know, he began to think in prison, is this the Messiah at all? Is he questioning now what he once truly believed? Now, if you think his faith faltered, and if you think that he's questioning now what he truly believed, you have to, first of all, believe that the Holy Ghost was withdrawn from him. You'll have to accept that bit. And that's not just like my God, when the servant of God has served him loyally, and because of his devotedness he's put in prison. It just wouldn't be like my God to withdraw the Holy Ghost from him, so I'm not accepting. I've seen the critics on this before, you know. You know, John, in John's Gospel, chapter 1, let's have a look at that just for a moment. I think you need to look at this, because this is very important. John's Gospel, and we're at the first chapter. Verse 29, Next day John seeth Jesus coming unto him and saith, Behold the Lamb of God which taketh away the sin of the world. This is he of whom I said, After me cometh a man which is prepared before me, for he was before me. And I knew him not, but that he should be made manifest to Israel, therefore am I come baptizing with water. John bare record, saying, I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and it abode upon him. Now I knew him not, but he that sent me to baptize with water, the same said unto me, Upon whom thou shalt see the Spirit descending and remaining on him, the same is he which baptizeth with the Holy Ghost. And I saw and bear record that this is the Son of God. Now, you'll have to accept, if you think his faith faltered, if you think he's questioning if this was the Messiah, you'll have to accept not only that the Holy Ghost was withdrawn, but that he's taking all this back. And remember, he did see the Spirit descending like a dove and bear record that this was the Son of God. And I can't see him taking that back. Very sorry. You have to accept that when he stood up and said, Behold the Lamb of God, that he had made the biggest blunder of his life, and I'm not prepared to accept that. Oh, I don't think that's in the story at all. Let's go back to the story now to see, because I think sometimes we can't read. And we're at Matthew's Gospel, chapter 11. Verse 2, Now when John had heard in prison the works of Christ, I want you to get that a little bit into your mind. He's sitting in a prison cell and he's hearing all about the works of Christ. He sent two of his disciples and said unto her, and said unto him, Art thou he that should come, or do we look for another? And Jesus answered and said unto them, Go and show John again those things which ye do hear and see. Now, I don't think the problem was with John the Baptist at all. I think the problem was with John the Baptist's followers. I think his followers, you know, they were still John's followers. They were not Christ's followers. And they come into the prison daily, don't they? And they say, you know, if this was the Messiah, he would come and visit you in prison. He would come and set the prisoner free. He would do so many things. Oh, you know, there are folks like this. Let me tell you, folks, that our Lord Jesus never visited John in the prison. And that our Lord Jesus didn't do 1,000 things that some fool would like done. Of course, I'm plagued with a lot of stupid followers, too. They want it their way, not God's way. Let me tell you that Jesus never visited that prison. Let me tell you he never set John free. Let me tell you there's 1,000 things he never did for John. Of course, John's immediate friends, his followers, they're beginning to question. And the only way to set them right is send them to the Messiah. John's still sending them to Jesus. And John is sending them with this sort of question. Art thou he that should come? Or do we look for another? Oh, John knew the answer to that quite well. Oh, but he wants them to learn the answer at Christ's feet. That's what he wants. See, Christ looking at these boys, this is what he said to them. The blind receive their sight. The lame walk. The lepers are cleansed. The deaf hear. The dead are raised. The poor of the gospel preached. These are the credentials that's in the Old Testament that tell us the character and power and ability of the Messiah. They were learning now. I've never thought that John failed. They cannot see John failing. No, you would have to withdraw the Holy Ghost. He would have to forget the scene of the Holy Ghost falling on the Messiah and him bearing record. He would have to take back, behold the Lamb of God, it is not so. My dear friends, how the critics take the thing up. What a character we have in our hands. I believe he died in the prison in a blaze of glory. He graduated in the dark. God bless you. And next week we're starting with Peter. And I don't think that I would dare to attempt to do Peter for you all in 1 week, or maybe 2 weeks. Maybe it will take 3 weeks. Because there's a lot of things to learn there.